Love Talk Radio.
I didn't know the commercial was going to play in the middle of my Malcolm speech. Let's continue a little bit. I want to hit you to hear a little bit more.
Let's run away. Let's escape. Let's separate. That house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him.
What's up, everybody? Citizen Payne here. That's my what I go by in the social network, some of them. And this is Eric K's son, also known as K's son. This is K's son and friends. That was Chuck D in the beginning. You know, Chuck and the fellas, Public Enemy. And that's, of course, Malcolm X. And I thought about that particular speech, the House Negro in the Field Negro, because as you all know, Donald Trump, the President of the United States, tests positive for COVID. But the thing is that a lot of people, black or white, have that mentality, right? They're rolling with this guy no matter what, right? And the We Sick Boss thing came to me because I'm watching some of the networks and some of the coverage and some of the news channels and the talking heads, and I'm seeing how they react and you know, people are being polite, taking the high road, as Michelle Obama suggested to many of us. But I'm wondering, and I guess that's a good thing. You don't want to wish bad on somebody, unless that somebody has wished bad on you. So I kind of have what Malcolm was getting ready to talk about, the field Negro mentality, that hope that a strong wind would come if the master's house was caught on fire because of all the brutality and the savagery that he did to the people. And then you have the people who want to hope everything is all right and wish you the best regardless, because I'm going to take the high road. And I just wonder, as I'm seeing this stuff, and it's a terrible thing. I've lost parents and people I loved, as you guys know, my mom and my sister, not due to any of this. But I'm just equating that to when you have empathy for someone about their loss. But if they have no empathy, should you have empathy for them? If they've wished the worst on you, should you wish best on them? Shouldn't you wish the worst on them? If they encourage people to take your lives and to commit acts of brutality on people that look like you, should you then still turn the other cheek? I don't know. I just have to wonder which were the shoe on the other foot. If it was Joe Biden who had COVID-19 and tested positive and did the same exact things, we're not even going to say if it was Barack because we know what they would say, but let's say it was Joe and did the same exact things that they did in terms of going there anyway, having their whole crew not have the masks on, would we have the same mentality? More importantly, would he be as gracious as Joe Biden was? So when I hear all this stuff, it just continues to remind me how much hypocritical BS that we have to deal with in this country when we talk in terms of justice, right? Justice. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. Well, I'm not going to, like I said, wish bad on somebody, but I know how he talked about John McCain after the man was dead, and he was one of their party, and how all of them people rolled with him. I know how he talked about him before he died. I know how he talked about him after he was dead, still went in on him. I know how he talked about Joe Biden's son who had an issue with drugs. I know that all that his posse refused to put masks on when they went to a medical clinic place that was hosting the debate and refused to put the masks on and all sat there. After, back, I guess it was that day was Tuesday, his assistant lady, the lady who picks, got sick on Wednesday. Then he still went to do his thing in Minnesota, then had the nerve to come to Jersey after old girl said she was sick. Huh. Not caring about anybody but themselves. So you tell me, should you really... we want to wish you the best, and I understand that's what people have to do, you know, that are in the public eye, and they want to take the high road, but like I've been saying about dirty fighters, how long are you going to fight a dirty fighter if he keeps doing the dirty things and keeps hurting you? When are you going to stand up? And what I'm concerned about, you know, my concern about the Democrats being the soft, turn the other cheek, eh? You know, Malcolm said one thing, Dr. King said the other, eye for an eye, and Dr. King said an eye for eye leaves both people blind. Yeah, it does. But if we're both blind, I'm going to speculate, then that means both of us can't do that much more harm on each other, right? I'm just tired of it, y'all, and you have to forgive me. I'm just tired of it, tired of it, tired of it. Tired of my people catching hell for 400 years, tired of the double standard when it comes down, tired of people getting upset that at the fact that we utter the words, Black Lives Matter, Our Lives Matter, that sends these folks into a tizzy. And they tried to make it up about an organization. So the bullshit, I just get tired of the bullshit, man. At a certain age, you get tired of it. You know, they talk about old black dudes, the old black brothers that ain't got time for the bullshit. And I don't have time. So that's all I'm saying. You know, and, you know, get well or whatever. Nancy Pelosi, third in line to the presidency, right? Or second in line right after Pence, right? And there's Pelosi. Said she didn't even get some of the updates that you're normally supposed to get in part of protocol. His chief of staff comes out today, even after all this went down, and has no mask on talking to the reporters. Not going to have the decency not to expose the reporters any further than their whole crew has already exposed them to. And still making up excuses. So when you're dealing with evil, what was it, the avenging angel Gabriel that came down with the sword and just was chopping people up? Talking about justice, right? Talking about righteousness. That's why people say leave it up to God, because God's plan. That's why they tell you not to pray for someone else to go down, pray for the Lord to strike him down, because in the Bible, I guess that book that a lot of people want to refer to, they said it's going to be 100 times worse. I think that's what they said. But you get tired of bullshit. Bring in Brother Byron, historian. He's a historian, so he could probably talk a little bit more about those scriptures and things like that. What's up, Byron? How you doing, brother?
My brother. I went to bed last night listening to what is and the October surprise that nobody was listening or watching to happen. So when you
that's like Richard
for,
Pryor said, that's an October surprise for your ass.
That's right. So my people, when you pray for a miracle, don't rebuke God's miracle. Okay? Because at this point, you got to look at this as a game changer. It's a paradigm shift. And everybody who was following blindly to the Kool-Aid tank, drinking it, having fun with it, rubbing our noses in it. See there, we can go out and we can don't have to wear any masks. We can go up to the state capital of Michigan with our guns and demand that y'all don't make us wear no masks.
And compare it to slavery, do things like that,
compare it to slavery. So in answer to your question, you see, at the point at which I understand and I have to say this, probably not, people aren't going to appreciate this, Africans are imbued with the notion of forgiveness. And that's a hard thing for anybody to accept. Why do we forgive you? I'm not going to forget. I will not forget. Forgiving, like T.D. Jakes says, give them this 10th spiritual gift. You know what the 10th spiritual gift is? Goodbye.
No.
Don't beg nobody to be in love with you. Come on. Get off of
that's
the people.
That's a message.
That's a message. And that's why I say, when you pray for a miracle, don't rebuke it when it's staring you in your face, because at the point of which all of what was yesterday has been thrown into the garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a new page, people. And this is where you go by the book. And the book on the 25th Amendment says that we are in fact, without even them saying it, ladies and gentlemen, America is already in the protocols of the 25th Amendment. Look it up. Because when the individual known as Commander-in-Chief is derelict of duties, he and our government have a responsibility to declare him incompetent and unable. Now, check this out. Now, when it was released last night that he and his wife were, have COVID-19. Washington Post person said last night, Chief White House correspondent says, there's some very serious questions to be answered by the administration because they violated the protocols that were supposed to be taken that are already in place. Already in place. We don't have to ask, is it time to do the 25th Amendment? No. The 25th Amendment is engaged immediately when Reagan got shot. Nobody in the House or the Congress or the Senate had to talk about, do we now do the 25th Amendment? It was engaged automatically. And they broke protocol. This administration has already broken the protocol for what was supposed to happen by the book when the commander-in-chief goes down on any kind of illness. That is the protocol, ladies and gentlemen, and that is with mercy because the rule of law says we have a book that we must go by. When Kennedy got shot, did they have Congress to go get Johnson the permission to be the new president? And guess what? The 25th Amendment also engages, by the way, that as we have been told by CDC, the incubation period is 10 to 14 days. So guess what? In the 10 to 14 days of the incubation, even the vice president is under a watch. And guess who is in charge? Nancy Pelosi. That's the rule of law, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about the mercy of, oh, let's forgive him. I feel so sorry. Come on, let's light a candle, go into prayer. When people get shot, that's the first thing you hear from the Congress. Oh, we're going to have a prayer session. We're going to have a moment of silence. Well, let me see now. I got radio moments of silence. Probably you can only do about 3 seconds. Hold on. That was my moment of silence right there.
Mm.
I really do hope he gets well. But the protocol and the rule of law by the Constitution indicates that right now we are in the 25th Amendment protocols, and we have to follow it by the rule book, ladies and gentlemen. Stop breaking the rules. And you know who's in trouble? Mitch McConnell, because by the rule, he is no longer in charge of the Senate. It is the responsibility of the Speaker of the House. And Pence, by way of his texting negative today, is still under a 14-day watch. That's the rules, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what we've been trying to tell you. Justice is followed by rule of law. And if this country is going to engage in its democratic ideals, don't bend the rules just because someone at the top is not feeling well today. You see, that's the problem we got right now, because they want to bend the rules, make us go by the rules, but then they want to bend the rules. And right now, our country is in a free fall, and if they don't stop the free fall by engaging what the Constitution says in the protection of our government and the United States of America, then we are really up a creek, because we don't even want to play by the rules that are being forced on all the rest of us. Uh-uh. I feel sorry that he's sick. You want my empathy? But I ain't the house Negro. I ain't your nigga. I ain't got sympathy for you today. I got a feeling that, and Eric, and this is because what we're talking about right now is that there can't be no debates. There can't be no hearings for a Supreme Court. She was in the room with the guy. Think about it.
And who knows how... what other room she was in with, because I'm just speculating here. I don't really, I don't know that woman, and but I got a feeling that there might be more than just an aide.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, I mean,
well, it's heartbreaking, because at a moment when we really do have the book to help us guide us through this, it's like, okay, you know, you're on the football field. And, okay, the other day, here's a great example, U.S. Open. Djokovic accidentally hit the ball and hit the ball.
Yeah, he had to be disqualified.
Hit the Lions person. Now, yes, they probably could have said, you know, he really didn't hit it that hard, and he really wasn't intentionally hitting her, but you know what? He screwed up, and the book calls it very clearly. And yes, he lost millions of dollars, but guess what? That was his fault. And you know what? Right now, this president, and there, I can guarantee you, there's a large section of our country, Eric, that is calling this a hoax from the hoaxer himself.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And why would he engage in this? Sympathy, the sympathy vote. Oh, we're feeling so sorry for the president, just like Malcolm said. And so, and at the point in which, oh, and now, you know, guess what? You know, maybe Mitch McConnell will, because he needs that vote, y'all, we might get this next $1,200 check. That's buying our vote. That's voter suppression, voter oppression. It's violating rules all over the place.
Yep. You know, my vibe is like, oh well, that happens.
Oh, well.
It is what it is.
I don't
really feel sorry. I wish I could say that. You know, I've my opinion a couple of years ago that I felt Donald Trump wasn't a racist, that's public. I made that on the show several times. I didn't think that he was the racist that my mom was saying. And other people were saying, but he proved to me that he was. Proved to me that he was a racist. And further activities other than that, beyond that, have been really completely despicable, where I have this opinion of him now. So, and I I've often found that his press conferences, that he was a funny because he was so much full of it. But, I mean, it's detrimental and it's dangerous. And so I can't, you know, I can't really muster up that empathy because my cousins, my second cousin passed away from COVID. My aunt in California had COVID. And so knowing that what he knew from the very beginning, no, I can't really feel sorry for him because I got people in my family that died behind his bullshit.
That's right.
So God don't like ugly, and what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So you want to feel sorry for him. Oh, there's all these other 200 and some odd thousand Americans, people that believed him, which is even worse. It's even worse to me. People that believed in you. That one lady who's voting for Joe Biden now because her father believed in what he said and ended up dying. So no, I don't feel sorry for him or any of them. That's justice. That's
and
justice.
He's a spreader.
And God's justice is the worst kind of justice when it comes back. Let me just finish, B. God's justice is the worst kind of justice when it comes back and comes on you.
Yep.
You know, and you said something else I wanted to go on. When you think about, you know, this is where we often, you talk about what's supposed to be, and I talk about what is, right? I always say, I don't think they don't follow their rules. I don't even think they meant to follow their rules. They set it up. You know, from the all those slave owners back in the day set up these rules of constitution and blah, 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 blah. And I think that they thought in the back of their mind, that's for the suckers. Remember, they even put it in the document. It had to be landowners for this to apply to get these rights that
that's
were written down. So that was for the suckers. Do as we say, not as we do. So it was never about the reality of it. That's why I say, you say there's protocol, but they ain't been following protocol from day one, and they ain't going to follow it. I don't expect them to follow it. All you got to do is pull the football away from me one time. One time. Other areas, I might be a little bit hard-headed. In the areas of emotion and love, I might be a little hard-headed. I might get fooled a couple of times, but not from this time, because I've seen this type of stuff before, and you ain't going to, and I've seen it before, and I've seen it done to my father, my father's father, my mother's father, my mother's, so I ain't playing. Because I owe them, and when I think about some of the things they had to go through, you're going to get what you deserve. I was watching on YouTube about Bass Reeves, lawman Bass Reeves.
Lawman.
The Lone Ranger is based on that. Many people out there, if you're listening to us, you've probably never heard of him. That's why, because the history has been rewritten and made up for people. But they talked about Bass Reeves, and it sounded like a white dude. That did the documentary. And as another side note, when I was working at a call center in L.A. calling for fundraising for Democratic politics, I happened to call a man who was a white dude who told me about Bass Reeves. I never heard of him, and he told me to look it up. So it ain't a race thing. It's a people who want truth and justice thing. But Bass Reeves, the story of Bass Reeves is that he was a lawman, started out as a slave, had his life, ended up being a lawman. He was a lawman. He believed in the law. Black man, for all of y'all want to talk about black lives versus blue lives, a lawman. He arrested his own son who killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Said it broke his heart to do that, but that was the law. And he has a statement about the law. The law says something like, the law may not be perfect, but it's the only law we got. And without the law, we got nothing. So if you want to talk about the law, all you people want to talk about the law and order, walk it like you're talking.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just another jackass that's getting fooled by a bigger jackass.
There it is.
You wanted to say?
Come on, teach it, teacher.
Huh.
Hey, it's so ironic, isn't it, that we're engaging in this conversation because I said this a couple of weeks ago, the most law-abiding people in the United States of America are African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Forced on us. Forced. Put
a law
us
that doesn't
in chains.
Protect us.
Yeah, that's right. So it's now they want mercy. Mercy?
That's what I'm saying, man. You got this UFC fighter out there that's calling out everybody because he's a Trump guy. You know, I mean, if you the UFC people, they don't. It's no mercy, you know, until the dude taps out, right?
That's it.
So why now all of a sudden they want to, as usual, change the rules? All you got to do is look up pictures of people swinging, getting hung, There was one of those pictures of a lynching back in the day. They zoomed in on it close up, and as they pulled out, they said, "This looks like people having fun and just young people out hanging." And two of the people in the picture, a guy and a girl, their body language looked like they were actually on a date. And when you pulled out, you saw that it was a lynching. Because back in the day, that was a public outing. They would go to lynchings, like, that's where the word picnic came from, right?
That's right.
They would go to lynchings like it was a public spectacle to go observe and have popcorn and they would have souvenirs, and if they burned a black person alive, some of them would be allowed to go and cut off pieces of the body.
And they
were kind
of
bullshit. We're not falling for the okie doke no more.
And as I said, they would even sell postcards. Postcards were made of the lynchings, and they sold at fairs. It's like you can go up and buy a card. Yeah, and that's the part of why systemic racism, for most people who don't really understand it, the impact of what it has done to us as a people. See, y'all are living in virtual land. Y'all want to be in Disneyland. Y'all want to be in the bubble to watch the NBA finals. And, you know, go right on ahead. But guess
and
what?
And God bless those brothers. Hold on. Don't miss the NBA finals too much, because those brothers are walking it like they're talking, man. So watch the NBA finals, because they had all them shirts on to try to get people out to vote.
That's right. Exactly. So, but I'm talking about those who want the sport, okay?
Right.
Not the athletes. Because that's a job for them. That's their job, okay?
Yes, sir.
And they're getting paid a lot, but guess what? When they get hurt and get down, then y'all don't even want to deal with it anymore. You want to discard them like they're just toys.
Or when they get political, they get told to shut up and dribble.
Thank you. Or take a knee, for instance. See? When chickens come home to roost. So in essence, the last 31 days before this election will be something like you have never seen in the history of this country. It will be a game changer. This is a change of everything. Yesterday, y'all were walking in something else. Today, this is a brand new ball game. Okay? And you better get real, because now you're realizing, like he's realizing, he can lose. He's going to lose this contest. And you know what's going to put the nail in his coffin? Your vote. That's why we've been saying this week after week after week. You didn't think you had all that power, but guess what? Your power is going to be the removal of the stain of the pus from this nation. Right now, you got 31 days. And if you got a week or two left to register, don't play the game. I might. No, folks. This is your life is depending upon this. You have the votes. We are the majority. His base, this is what's really nice, is that even the talking heads are starting to say his base is no more than 30%.
Right.
30%? Come on, people. You took simple math, 70%. Over 30%, 70% is the majority. 30% is a minority. Those are his base supporters. So stop walking around like you ain't got no power. You got more power than you realize. You better use it.
And if let me just give out the number, because if somebody's listening to us that wants to comment or offer a different opinion, well, I'd love to hear either. You can call us at 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. And we always are open to other people's opinions. I like to debate. And if you want to talk about it, either for or against or just a comment too, that's all good. You know, because
you
to me the most despicable thing – hold on. The most despicable thing is that he has exposed his own supporters, people who really, really believe in him for whatever reason, and just exposed them, their whole crew. They're exposing them to the disease, too. Now, that's probably the most despicable thing, because we know what he is. We ain't messing with him. We already know what he is. But the people who decide to mess with him, you know, and their intentions are, I guess, pure, purely racist, purely not racist, I don't know.
Yeah,
but, You know, it's despicable to do that. And it's certainly despicable for them to try and go into the debate the other night and for him to talk about Joe wearing masks all the time and this and that. And then the very next day, that's, you know, that's a message from somewhere for him.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What I was going to say, historically, there are two historic moments today that I find rather significant as we're about to enter this month of harvest time. One is, this was the birthday of Nat Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Nat
very
Turner.
Interesting.
Very, very interesting, because Nat Turner was trying to take us out of the pandemic of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know the story. They turned him in. You've seen it. Birth of a Nation, by way of the new one. We've got
yep.
to recognize the heroes and sheroes that really put their lives on the line for us. Today is also something a very significant day, because it's the birthday of it's the day that Thurgood Marshall was sworn into the Supreme Court.
Wow.
My God.
Wow.
My God.
The ancestors.
The
energy of the ancestors.
That's right. That's exactly right. See, and they gave us the pathway to what we're supposed to be acknowledging, not falling
yes,
for
sir.
the Willie Lynch rule of law, not falling for the plantation crap that they've been stuffing down our throats, not falling for, oh, you guess what? By the way, the president who took hydroxychloroquine? Guess what? We know now that shit don't work.
Right.
So why? See, you got to start connecting these dots, people, because at the point at which, for those who are like, oh, no, let's go and line up and let's drink some Clorox and let's go to hydroxychloroquine, because that's what the president says. Well, he took it. So now look what's happening. You know, what you going to give him now? And I can tell you something. He had this on the stage the other night at the debate when he broke down and they were queuing him, querying him, questioning him about racism. You've got to play that little 47 seconds back, because in that 47 seconds, you're going to see he broke out into a sweat so bad that it was like you knew he had a mental breakdown instantly right there. Now, did he bring himself back? Yeah, after he got through rambling and rumbling, and Mike Wallace had to bring him back, but he went off on a tangent so far out, he was gone, y'all. He had a mental snap.
Yeah, excuse me, everybody. I thought he was on a tangent the whole time. My sister, I was talking
yeah,
to her,
was.
She said I knew he was sick because he looked clammy. He didn't look
yes.
any different to me, because he always looked snakily to me and greasy.
Yeah.
So he looked the same to me. I just want to say to everybody, Wayne should be calling in. Wayne Gilman, our newsman, should be calling in any minute. He's been was conducting a summit on media and stuff over there in New York, and so he's in between those things. So we expect him to be calling in soon to take part in this discussion. But yeah, I mean that. I can't get over. I keep going back to that debate, because the fact that all of his people had the nerve not to wear masks, and
yes.
it was a hospital type of facility that they were having the debate at, and they were advised,
right.
you know, would you like to put a mask on? And they refused. And they refused.
Yes.
And the next 2 days later, he's got COVID-19. It really
right.
is something, you know, above our supernatural abilities that happened that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why I say Eric, when you pray for the miracle, be prepared for the miracle to come in a way that you least expected it, because this
mm-hmm.
was not on anybody's playbook, nowhere
right.
near possible,
right.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of job that they have, you know, they meet a lot of people, you know, and some people, I saw some talking heads say they were surprising, or that some people might have thought it was surprising that it took this long to happen. If you hear him, his little interview with Hannity the other night, he was talking about the media, I mean, the military and police officers, and people love him and want to hug him and stuff like that, which was interesting to me. Seems like you throw in the people that protect you and to protect our country under the bus. And even if it wasn't, I mean, this is the reason why I'm assuming this is because this is his MO, to always put the blame and kind of cast doubt and put it someplace else other than himself.
Right.
Take, you know, right. And for it to be the people that are protecting you, the cops that you're talking about respecting, the military that you're talking about respecting, and because you say they love you so much, so they want to hang you, and what are you going to do? It is what it is. Okay, all right. But a lot of other people do. You're saying that your supporters that stand there waiting for hours, and they don't love and support you too, or I guess he didn't want to come out and say it could have been then. You know, he's already been busted of saying, you know, these people are filthy. Maybe COVID-19 is a good thing. Remember, he was reported to say that by the aide, Pence's aide. So all of this stuff, man, you know, it's just funny to me. And I guess really what was ticking me off today and why I wanted to do a show immediately today is because what I heard on one of the networks kind of trying to spin that, trying to throw that kind of vibe out there, you know. And it is, you know, first time that we've had a president that had a situation like this since Reagan, you know. And but just how some of the comments they were making, it seemed, well, they were sympathetic, and if you want to be sympathetic and empathetic, that's cool. I just thought, I thought, wow, that seems to not really consider all the damage that was done by this individual. Here we got Wayne. I know he's going to want to jump in. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing this evening?
All right. I hope I'm getting through clearly because I'm still on the road.
Go ahead.
I am shocked. I am not going to stand here and act like as if I'm happy despite my comments about his removal and all that business. I wouldn't want to wish this on anyone. And I had sent a text to you guys earlier today. When I got the news this morning, I immediately thought of my late beloved mother, who always told me as a child, Wayne, if you don't hear, you will feel. And right now, he's feeling it. And, you know, he had every opportunity to be clear about this problem without putting the nation at panic. He had every opportunity to not politicize this virus. You know, don't put a color to it, a party to it, you know, a militia to it, a country to it. You know, he had all these opportunities. And, you know, I am still hopeful that some small miracle will happen and that he will just recover from this soon and we could go ahead with the traditional process of voting for a new president. Or a president. You know, I don't foresee that happening or changing in the space of a month's time. And again, right now, we have to be very concerned about where we're getting our news from, because there are people who are saying, well, he's showing slight symptoms. And I know a lot of people feel that it's probably worse than that. All right, so we saw him walk from the White House to his chopper, the chopper to Walter Reed, from out the chopper into the hospital. You know, that's all show and tell as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't mean that he's not feeling the impact of this virus. And all we could do is wait and see, you know. There is a chain of command. And it's Pence, Pelosi, I think Pompeo, and I guess not the leadership of the Senate, but I'm forgetting. I'm sorry. I'm having a senior moment tonight. But I know it's the vice president, it's the House leader, Secretary of State.
Right.
Is the historian on? Because maybe he can help me. You know.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm opening up my constitution.
yeah, I forget, man. You know, it's shame when you get old.
Yeah, actually, Grassley, Chuck Grassley is after Nancy Pelosi, then Pompeo, and then
I don't know
who the last person is. But I don't know why Chuck
Grassley
is or what position he has that makes him in that line of succession.
Right. I don't know if
Speaker,
it's
Speaker pro temp. That's
what
he is. Chuck Grassley is the Speaker pro temp. So that's what.
Oh, okay, got you.
Yeah.
So,
Nancy Pelosi is the only Democrat in the line of succession, which is concerning, especially since they tried to keep some information from her as part of in terms of the protocol that you referenced earlier, Byron.
Yeah, that's why I say they already broke the rule, and this is what. See, if you're going to snap them with tough love, you got to go back to the rules. That's tough love. When you stole the cookie from the cookie jar, and your mother said, you know, you don't get no more cookies, and because of your punishment, you don't get a chance to use your PlayStation tonight. That's tough love. Okay.
Yeah.
and believe me, kids know what you're talking about. So this child running rampant in the White House needs some tough love, and he's about to get it. Because at this point, not even Barr can save his ass.
Right.
Well,
right. And I tell you, not to cut you off, Byron, but one of the things that I found remarkably crazy, I go back to that shot when he was, I think he was recently holding a White House press conference, and both Chris Christie and Rudy Giuliani they were sitting side by side, unmasked.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in an indoor environment. I think it was the White House press room. And anyone who's visited the White House press room on the tour, I've done a couple of reports out of there back in the day. It is a small room. It's about the size of my bedroom, you know.
Yeah.
And there are reporters in the press pool who've actually come down with corona. So my thing is that, you know, it just amazes me how slipshod these people are about proving a point.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, again, I'm not wishing anything on this guy. You know, I mean, I know what it's like to be pretty sick. And the deal is that nobody deserves, regardless of what he's done, I just hope he's learned something from it, you know? And what it is, I don't know, but I just hope he's learned something from it.
He'll learn what he learned is not to let everybody know, and to go harder now can go quicker and to put their plan into effect. That's what I think. You know, I mean, look at how they responded with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. After they talked about she wasn't dead 24 hours, and he started talking about his next pick, by the way, at which when he introduced the lady, very few of them were practicing social distancing, of course. And very few of them at that Rose Garden event had masks on.
Right.
But she wasn't even 24 hours dead when he was talking about his pick. And when they reported about what she had told her daughter, her dying wish, what was his response? Well, I think that was something the Democrats made up.
Right.
So this is what I'm talking about. You know, I would like to try to find empathy for this man in there, but I have none for that. I have none for someone who deserves to be punished, who they deserve to have justice. Not saying that I'm the one, you know. It's a bigger power, it's a higher power than me. So you know, you leave it up to the higher power. But you just know that you can only get away with despicable, truly evilness for so long before a higher power intercedes. That's what I'm saying.
Right. And that's
and God works in mysterious ways.
That's right. After sometime this evening, I'm going to go back and look at Exodus and see how Moses and the Pharaoh finished up their last tete-a-tete. Because we know once Pharaoh's son died, Moses was on the hit list. You know, it's kind of, we kind of laugh at it, but we're in biblical times, y'all. The fires, the hurricanes, you know, the pandemic, the racism.
Yeah.
You know, this is some biblical stuff. And if you're not paying attention, what really is incredible is that the irony of by Fauci saying by January 1st, December 31st, we'll be up around 400,000 people dead. Okay, that's no joke.
Amazing. 50,000 every day, it seems.
That's right. So now add one more, two more to the list. Not that I think he's going to die. I'm not wishing none of that on him. Because, I mean, the higher power and authority way above my pay grade has already put into motion what's going to happen. Sit back, pop some popcorn, and pay attention, and do social distancing no matter what. If you got to have something to drink, buy it, bring it home, and get locked there. Don't go out into the public because 33 states are spiking right now.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. Including New York, you know, which has had a lull. Yeah. You know, I think Jersey is about the safest place to be in the tri-state up here in the Northeast.
No. We've already – Jersey has had a spike. It's been one of the states that's been spiking.
That's right.
And also, obviously, since he decided to visit us yesterday at his country club, didn't really help matters at all either. That he decided to know it. And that's particularly despicable because it was confirmed that she had it. And he knew it and he still traveled, you know, so.
So let me ask a question, guys. If it's confirmed that he had it, by the timeline and the clock that he went to Bedmar for the fundraiser.
No, it was confirmed that she had it. He didn't have it. She had it.
Yeah, right,
it was confirmed she had it.
It was confirmed that she had it, but he went to the fundraiser without the mask. And I want to know, did you make him sign the waiver? So how's that working for you now, folks?
Not only that, Byron, but, you know, there was a report on MSNBC this morning or CNN where some observers, I believe there were reporters, who were there and they've been watching him on all these campaign stops, and it seems like he has been somewhat fatigued. You know, he didn't seem quite himself. I heard that. And I had a feeling that he knew after Hicks that he might have been exposed. There are 11 people at the debate that have come down with the virus. And, you know, his family very blatantly, blithely, acting like they're blithely unaware of the prospect of getting it. They all sat there unmasked. And then you see the confluence of events. Everybody's in an uproar. The entire country is in an uproar about the debate. And less than 48 hours later, this is where we're at. And he's still in control. He could sleep with that button that they keep saying that he could push and start a war or whatever, you know? I heard something about the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys on, Inauguration Day. You know, there's all sorts of... But again, we got to be very, very careful where we're getting our information from.
Absolutely. They're still playing the shell game, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, you know, people should do their homework. I mean, you know, do your own research. I mean, it's like I would say on here, too, you know, hear us talking. Don't take our word for it. Do your research, you know. Listen to opposite sides. I mean, I try to listen to what might be the opposite of what I'm talking about and what I believe. I can only do it for a very few minutes if I turn to a place like Fox or one of those other newer conservative channels.
Yeah.
I mean, the newer ones are a little bit less slanted in terms of, or a little bit less direct in terms of you being able to intentionally see, like, you know, come on, you're just trying to really slant it, you know. And I also can determine when I hear it on the networks I listen to, MSNBC or CNN. I can tell when the anchor is trying to lay it on thick or give you an interpretation of something that went down that, to me, is not the same interpretation. It's not as extreme as they might have tried to make it seem. So, everybody's responsibility, freedom is responsibility, right? Malcolm X said that, I believe. So your responsibility in what's supposed to be a free society is to seek out this information on your own. And it might have to be in places other than a quick snippet on the internet. You might have to crack some books somewhere. Oh, my God. God forbid some people should have to crack or read that little pamphlet. You know, the U.S. Constitution comes in little pamphlets. When you go to visit D.C., You can get it right by her, and it's a, I got one right here, too.
Right.
It's a little pamphlet of the Constitution. Read some of those things. Read what William Thompson, ironically the same name as my mother's maiden name, the guy who created the Confederate flag or the, is attributed as being the original designer, read what he said about the Confederate flag when he said it being something to show the white race, I'm paraphrasing, that the white race is supreme over the darker races. That's what he said in designing the flag. So all you people talk about is not hatred over heritage. It's a heritage of hatred. Okay?
Yes,
that's right there. So, you know, they want to make it into whatever, or maybe they say, well, we made it into something. No. No. You're anti somebody if you engage in things that you know systematically hurt those people or those organizations.
Exactly.
You know, if I walk around wearing a T-shirt that says a certain thing, perfect example, I used to wear, I had a Hugo Boss T-shirt. I was working on a TV show as a writer, and there was a friend, another writer who happened to be Jewish. And this guy said to me, you know, Hugo Boss, he was, back in the day, he designed some of the SS uniforms back in the World War II. I was like, really?
Yeah.
And so I didn't. I stopped. I never wore a shirt again. Not because of what he told me, but because if my friends who happen to be Jewish seeing me wear that and know that fact, I don't want them to think that I support someone like that. So, no, I never wore that shirt again of someone who was a Nazi murderer or supported that.
Right.
Because that's justice. That's just what's right. And plus, I do have a lot of people that I've grown up and known over the course of my life that I love that happen to be Jewish. I would do it, you know, same thing with anybody. I think any righteous or decent person would do that for not to, you know, it's like they talk about freedom of speech, act like it only goes one way. You know, I have the right to say whatever. You got the right not to insult people, too. You got the right not to say hateful things that's going to make people feel uncomfortable. It goes both ways. But like I said, I don't really think they meant what they wrote down. So there you go.
Well, see, truth that has been crushed to earth shall always rise back to the fold and above. You cannot pervert the truth. And that's what they've been doing. And now it's coming back to reveal, like the young folks say, this is a woke moment. Okay, we're in a period of awakenings, many of them. This was such a huge woke moment.
And
like
it goes to show
that
we live in such a world, no matter what generation, that the truth always rises to the top. It comes out.
Right.
You may try to hide something, and within the last couple of months, there have been more things about Donald Trump's personal life and perhaps the perceived anguish that he's going through, because he has to be going through a personal war in his mind, you know, with all that goes on. That's why he is so adamant about trying to seek another term by any means necessary, because he knows what consequences await him if he doesn't get back in.
Right.
What I don't understand.
I don't know where you're going there. You mean he's going through it in his mind because of the consequences of his actions, not because he has an inkling of, oh, I shouldn't have done that because it's just not right.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
His battle is, I don't want to get caught. I'm going to jail.
And I don't want to go to jail. So what
I'm
got to do is not to go to
my
jail.
Wealth. That's right. His thoughts are, I'm getting ready to lose all my money. Okay.
Exactly. That's it.
$432 million owed a marker in 4 years, and he has no income. They're going to take it away from him.
And it's not just him, man. It's his children, too. It's his children and all those other idiots that pony up to his nonsensical behavior. You know, and I'm saying this knowing full well, you know, he's in the throes of fighting for his life from a physical standpoint now. But the bottom line is all those things play factors in this internal war, in this pathology that we've been exposed to, that no one in the future of this country should ever have to undergo again. I got sick last year. I felt I was robbed last summer because I couldn't do anything about my illness, but hunkered down. Then this damn, you know, on a personal tip, pandemic comes, and I feel like I've lost 2 years out of my life. You know, I mean, there's nothing guaranteed. But I mean, I know I'm not alone. It sounds very selfish on my part. But the bottom line is, it didn't have to be like this. And that's right. What angers me. You know, and I know right. It angers everybody, you know? And that's the thing that just, I find it unfathomable. But there is a pathology. This guy, they should have used the 25th Amendment on him long before this happened. But, you know. It's the way they play their game.
They were in cahoots with him. I mean, you know, who's they? I've been saying for a minute that you put enough people, it was a race, right? A silent coup.
Yeah.
You put enough people in place who agree with you and agree with the things that you're trying to achieve or just agree with you to be down so they can achieve their own goals because certain people were down with him because they had their own private goals and maybe they were separate from him. His goal, you know, he owes all this money, so he's trying to do whatever he has to do to get that money. That if you're in his position, well, that's an understandable, you know, I mean, it ain't right, but he's desperate not to, if he has $300-400 million worth of loans, he's desperate to do whatever it takes, right? And if somebody's desperate,
I hear that.
Then they do whatever it takes. And unfortunately,
well, I hope they have
a
room in a homeless shelter here in New York for him and his family.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. He's not going to ever have to worry about that, probably. There will probably be some way that something will get worked out for him to go away if he doesn't win or if they're not able to steal it. Maybe, maybe not. You know?
Yeah, right. That's it.
But I don't have much faith in people doing what's right. You know, I've lost that a lot. I've lost that trust and faith a long time ago. And keeps you from being surprised and caught off guard, I found.
So I got a question for both of you. I mean, when you're down, your enemy is down, is this the time to play nice tiddlywink games, or do you crush him? Because you started off the show, Eric, with a commentary about forgiveness. Because we know if this were on the other toe, so let's say Joe and his wife, Jill, had come down with the COVID.
Right, exactly.
You know what would be going on right now. Him, Trump, and his entire administration would be in a rabid kill mode.
Right, of course. And we've got just under two minutes and 20 seconds. So real quickly, I'll say real quick, and then Wayne, if you want to jump in, that no, they would try to, you know, take him out. You know, or have, they don't have the good graces not to even let their surrogates do it. They would just try to do it themselves.
They would do it.
You
that's
know,
right.
where sometimes you're supposed to let other people do it. But
right.
Obviously, they wouldn't. We know they wouldn't. You know? When you want to come
Yeah, I happen to agree. I just think it's unfortunate that they play, you know, as you cited at the outset, Eric, you know, the way they played the Ginsburg death. You know, there's so many different instances when you juxtapose how they handle things from a public perspective compared to the Democrats. You know, I mean,
right. It's
just
right.
one of those things. And I don't want to think that we seem to be weak because we're doing what would be considered an act of civility. You know?
10 seconds.
But,
10 seconds you got. Okay. That's it. I'll just say real quick, that's the dilemma of being the good guy. You can't often resort to the same tactics as the bad guy. Byron, real quick, we've got a minute before we go.
Believe in your power, my people. You have it. Use it and continue to protect yourself, your family, your country, your neighbors, but you got to use your power. Do it. Vote.
There it is. Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you again, my brother.
My brother.
All
the
best.
All right, Wayne Gilman, give the people your last few words of encouragement.
Hey, in the tradition of Chuck D, fight the power, man. Get out there and vote.
All right, there it is. Wayne Gilman, we will talk to you again, my brother. Take care. All right, everybody. We're just about out of time. This has been Kay's Son and Friends. You know, we just had to get in there and talk about some of that stuff that's going on. Once you stay vigilant, go out there and vote. Don't wish bad on other people. I'm going to say that. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways, and, you know, karma comes back to get us. So try to treat people decently. All right. Kay's Son and Friends, I'm Citizen Payne. Those are the fellas. We'll talk soon. Take care.
I'm not kicking through a mat.
The fellas try hard, or you could say.